This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From Space City, USA, Paul Bosch presents Wrestling Spectacular, matching the world's top wrestlers in fierce competition.
Welcome to This Week in Wrestling, NWA On Demand. We've switched it up. We've talked about it. We're breaking all these shows up into each show. It's going to have its own separate show each fall now. And we felt like NWA On Demand is something we want to spend a little time on. One, it's kind of a passion for especially me. Johnny loves it a lot, too. So don't worry, but enjoy it. Right? Yeah. And also I think it's neat because it's something like a lot of these matches they're not in circulation anywhere. So this is going to be really one of the only podcasts I know of that's going to actually analyze and discuss the matches that are coming up on the service. We're going to talk about all the matches that get released for the week. And I just think it's something kind of like it's like why Parv kind of started the Titans of Wrestling. It was because it's an area that's not really actively discussed anywhere else in wrestling on that podcast. And I feel NWA On Demand is what Johnny and I are going to do here. I think it's going to be similar in vein. We're going to start it off. We're going to open up with
So you're actually trying to give Parv credit for some of this. We'll never live it down.
Well, you know, I have to throw him a bone. I mean, I don't know how bad you saw his poll on Twitter today. He put up a poll who is better character, who has better character skills, Rusev or Ludwig Borga.
Is he serious?
Yeah, he lost 75% of the vote. Went to Rusev.
That's like his ridiculous. New Day is just there's no difference between them and Men on a Mission.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we gotta throw part of a bone after that. After that face crushing he got on Twitter.
Anyway, I just wanted to add though, this is actually great because it's that we're doing it this way. Because, like you said, we're going to be talking about pretty much every match that gets released, except if one just comes right under the wire, right before recording. So sorry, Killer Karl Krupp, we're not going to be able to take a gander at that. However, I don't use this service enough at all, and whenever I do, I enjoy the hell out of it. So this is now something I'm being like, okay, gotta do this. And like, boy, there's a lot worse things I gotta do than watch all this. Everything's pretty much been like, if not great, at least interesting. This is a great service.
Yeah, we started on Saturday watching the footage that was uploaded on Saturday. So from Saturday to Friday, they uploaded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches. So we got in a wide variety of different styles of matches, and which made it interesting.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaySimation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySimation.com, the only place to be in your...
So the first one we're going to look at is the Fabulous Ones versus the Guerreros from December 27th, 1985. What's really interesting here is, like, I mean, Johnny and I, both guys, watch a lot of Memphis wrestling, and we've always seen the Fabs pretty much in straight-up babyface role. I mean, we saw them in the AWA as heels. They were babyfaces in the AWA, but yep. they didn't get the reaction they got, like, in Memphis, because they weren't treated... after they left Memphis, they came back, they were heels in Memphis for a little bit. But it's really neat here, because I felt they were, like, tremendous heels in Houston, on par with how incredible they were as baby faces in Memphis. What are your thoughts on the Fabs, like, in Memphis? You know, they were kind of like that baby face, but they could sell, but they're also rugged, and they're right. You know, they're pretty boys, but they could fight.
Right, and so here they are, and they're brought in. This is their debut in the territory, by the way. So
yeah,
everyone's who at least is aware of them or aware of them as baby faces, but like we've said, not everyone was aware of them. Not everyone read the magazines and all that shit, and suddenly in a territory like Houston / Watts, you know, here come these two fucking pretty boys. You know, like, now we can bring these guys in as heels. You know, this area of the country immediately is going to want to hate these guys.
Yeah.
The pretty boy blonde guys. And they go out there and they're like, got it. You know, they put away their like baby face tights and they're in fucking matching snake skin, you know, trunks, and, you know, and they're playing every goddamn heel. We'll talk about this more, but I mean, just on the way to the ring, how they're reacting to the crowd, what they're doing, instantly people are first like, who are these guys? It's 5 minutes and they're hated.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to watch because we haven't seen them be heels.
Yeah.
Very often.
Yeah. And here we got to see it, so yeah. We'll discuss, I'm sure you're going to touch on the character work a little bit more later.
Oh yeah, it's on both sides, by the way.
I'll get to the nuts and bolts of the match, though. First off, this is just a great Southern tag. The Guerreros were your local heroes, who were heels at one point, but now they're your beloved babyface. They're your ethnic draws to go with the Hispanic crowd that's here. And then you have the Fabs, who were these pretty boy, playing up every there, but they were just nasty. But they had like a good, they had like this great. They're all both good looking guys, but man, they're just like total scumbags, and they totally play that to the tilt in this match. overall, the Guerreros have this really great shine. They open up the match, and it's really focused, and they're just working over Kern and Lane's arm, and this is done with a lot of vigor and purpose, and they just work it, cut, you know, they're just doing a great shine. The crowd's all behind their baby faces. Hector, in particular, looked really good during the shine. The Fabs eventually, though, are able to bully their way into the corner for the tag, and they get the heat on the Guerreros, and the heat is just as good or even better than the shine earlier, where they use misdirections to the ref to get double teams on the faces. They use cheap shots. They're like, at one point, Steve Kern is even, I don't even know what the proper term would be because it's such a disgusting term, but he was like black lipping to an African American in the crowd, and all the African Americans know exactly what he was doing. It's right there on the hard camera, and they are going going bananas.
Well, nice.
Here we go. I know.
Great choice of
yeah,
words.
Yeah, I know, right? They are after. Yeah, pretty much he was aping. He was an ape to the African Americans. But yeah, they were going. They just wanted to lynch him right there on the spot.
Oh, you just keep picking all the right words.
I know. I really am. I'm on fire right now. I can't. I mean, geez, because this is so. You know, it's like it's so far removed from wrestling now. Because you would never see anything like this. But the Fabs are going for the heat, and they're not afraid of it. They went all in. Yeah, sure, some of the heat was cheap heat, but man, they went all in on the heat, and the crowd was just wanted to kill them. Just wanted to kill the Fabs here, and this was all really well done from both sides. And then they built this absolutely great finish that I loved for a first match, where it looks like the face is going to win, but no, they do the reversal, and the heels cheat to win. And yeah, this was legitimate and excellent match. 4 stars. Both teams worked really hard, and they were just so great in their roles, which what made it even more special. What were your thoughts here, man?
I love this so much. I remember this was... We all even knew about this heel Fabs thing because it was a story in an issue of Inside Wrestling, you know, because even the aftermags didn't give Mid-South a ton of coverage. It was like every now and then. And I remember reading that and about these Guerreros who I'd never heard of, and I thought it was very interesting. They're bad guys? That's neat. So to finally get to see it again is great. The cheap heat. I didn't see the racist thing you mentioned, maybe because I was still completely transfixed by Steve Kearn. He just shaking his ass at the crowd, and that's just pissing the crowd off terrible. He keeps doing it. Then he turns around right on camera and grabs his cock and waves it at the crowd while humping. And I was like, what did I just see? So I must have still been stunned from that and missed the really bad stuff. But Jesus Christ, Steve Kearn couldn't wait to be a bad guy. And listening to Paul not being able to tell the difference between the two of them throughout the entire match, at one point it just becomes funny. And then when that's the finish, Paul's like, see?
Yeah.
it's not just me. And everyone, no one could tell these guys apart, and it was brilliant. He said they were clones. I was like, yes they are. And then they give this great promo.
Oh yeah, that's right.
At the end, and the Fabs are out there in their black muscle tees, and so like, bad boy, and they were fantastic. You know, and, like. Let me tell you something, Mr. Bosch. You wear glasses, so you don't know what you're saying.
Yep.
You know, great, and Bosch. And Paul's looking old here.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still got it. You know, he's still doing it. Because this is 85, 86. This is the height of that boom. Because then he starts talking about how much wrestling is on that channel. He's like, we've got wrestling tonight. We've got wrestling later on tonight. We got wrestling tomorrow night. Yeah. We got wrestling. We got everywhere. All the wrestling you could possibly want is right here. He realizes the boom is going on, and he's taking advantage of it. So I can imagine there must have been a ton of wrestling on that Houston television.
Oh yeah,
back
for sure.
Then.
For sure.
Yeah, but this, I love this so much. I thought the match was tremendous.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. And not only did it have good work in it, but it had great character work on it, top of it. You know what I'm saying? So when you're able to combine the two, it really makes it special. And that's what we got here—a really special match because of everything was on point. Everything clicked.
Now, did the Guerreros turn? You mentioned that they'd been heel. Do they turn heel again after that and then start wearing the bandoleros and cool fucking shit?
They had the bandoleros. I thought the bandoleros was in 84.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was when they were feuding with the Fantastics and
right.
And stuff. So yeah, they were doing the bandoleros during the Fantastic feud. So they were heels earlier, but now they they became baby faces, especially in Houston. So I don't think the Guerreros were running in 85. I don't think they were. They were running Mid South, and they were the baby faces, and the Fabs were definitely the heels.
Hold on, and one last thing about this promo. As far as their time in the AWA, they did get dolls made of them.
That's right, and
they mentioned that in this promo. We've been everywhere.
Yep.
You can go to a toy store and see us on the shelves. I never even heard of a Guerrero. What's a Guerrero?
Yeah, I love that. I love Stan Lane's logic. I'm like, why in the hell would we go? You can see us everywhere. Even at Toys R Us. That was great. Oh, man. But, hey, let's move over to our next match, which is Mark Loon and Tora Kamada from October 26, 1979. But it seemed like it was a match they kind of played later because they were building to a February 7th show in Beaumont, Texas. So I think they just kind of did a typical wrestling thing, kind of cheated on the date. And pushed it, made it seem like it was later in the year, in the next year, when in reality it happened a few months prior. No farm, no foul, though. And Loon and Kamada are both guys who are known. Kamada is a favorite of the Titans. Mark Loon, he was a guy I actually voted for in my Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot just because of his being an incredible draw throughout his career, along with other reasons, but I don't want to go into them here. But they're both, these guys are known kind of for their blood baths. They're even the guys who could come in, pop a territory, but sometimes they wouldn't leave the territory in better shape than when they came in. But they were able to bring the crowds up because of the blood baths, but eventually it's hot shotting. So a lot of times that was only temporary. And Kamada was similar over there, doing the same type of thing over in Calgary. He'd come in and do the blood blast and like pop the territory for a bit, but usually it was only short lived because of the nature of the beast. But and since they're known for blood blast, we're here right now. We get some good brawling right off the bat, and Kamada's bleeding a minute in. It was kind of weird seeing Kamada as the face here, and I thought it was interesting. I thought his comebacks were well-timed. I thought he sold well underneath. I liked Lewin working the cuts, the chops with the cuts. Both guys relied on the nerve holds a little, not just a little, but way too much, and hurt the flow and the momentum of the matches. And both guys were definitely guilty of this. It wasn't one doing it and not the other. Both men were, and there's nothing worse than the kiss of death of a baby face is to do a nerve hold. So both of these guys are guilty of this. And on top of it, the finish felt kind of abrupt. I give it 2.5 stars. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, on paper, my expectations weren't like I was expecting some great match, but I thought the early parts of the match was really well done, the first 5 or 6 minutes. But after that, it kind of lost its way. Still not a bad match, though. But I really liked, we got 3 interviews after this, building to the Beaumont show with Gary Hart, did an interview, J.J. Dillon, and Ox Baker. And my favorite one was Ox Baker out of the whole 3 of them. I thought Ox Baker was tremendous. Paul Bosch saying how, hey, folks, we're out of the microphone is broken, and that's his voice. It's not, he didn't need anything to help him boom, and I thought that was funny. But I thought Ox really was a good promo, really good, solid promo there. What were your thoughts here, man?
First of all, the thing about the Kamada babyface thing is, at one point, the crowd starts getting behind him a little, and he, like, waves it off at them, like, shut up. You know, like, so there was never a plan for him to even be. I mean, this was heel, you know, they were going for. So they kind of took the starch out of the crowd.
Yeah.
At that point.
But like, they did. Okay. At one point, they did seem to get behind Kamada. And I think it's because he was selling well underneath.
Oh, yeah. But there was the point where he's like, they're cheering for him, and he's like, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, but I love Tor's robe. I never seen it close up, and the back of it is like a a sewn-in butterfly of him, which looked pretty cool. And Lewin, and I think he's a maniac, you know, yet he's a maniac who hits the gym regularly and eats well, is impeccably groomed. He's got the best hair. And I'm like, maybe he's like American Psycho.
Yeah.
It's like he was doing it before Bret Easton Ellis, right here. He stole it from Maniac Mark Lewin. You know, he's coming into the ring. He's like, come on, do you like Huey Lewis in the News? He's like, he's a maniac. He's a maniac, but he's like, doesn't look like a maniac. And those are the scariest ones, my friend. I didn't care much for the match. But I was enjoying what I was seeing. I loved the finish, though, because it was like Gary Hart doing some like sleight of hand, because Kamada was choking Lewin with rope.
Yeah.
The rope. And the ref couldn't see what it was. So then they clobber him with a chain, and when the ref sees the chain, Gary Hart's like, yeah, this is what he was choking him with. That's what I was trying to tell you. He's like, oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, oh, he had this right in on him, this chain. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, that's so subtle.
Oh, that's what happened? Okay, then that was pretty good. But it is, I think it was a little too subtle where you got to be paying really close attention, because I didn't, I thought that was what he was choking him with. Okay.
No. He brought in the chain. And gave it to Lewin. And then when the ref sees the chain, he's like, well, yeah, that's what he was choking him with. Which I was like, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's great. But the interviews, a great part of the Lewin interview is when he turns around and it's his giant wide back.
Yeah, and they put the belt behind it.
Yeah. And Gary Hart puts the belt on his back. I was like, oh, it was an amazing visual. Yeah. Super cool. And it was babyface Ox Baker, which is crazy. He was like, glad to be here and proud to shake your hand, Mr. Bosch. And, you know, I'm going to really go out there and give the fans what they want to see. 32 men have fallen before. He's killed 32 men in the ring, and he's the babyface here. And he was great, just like you said. It was tremendous. JJ, you get to see that great young JJ with his... He has sideburns that come down in the shape of J's.
Yeah.
He's JJ in his sideburns with his big cigar. It's like, oh, it's so cool. And Bosch gets in the great line. Yeah, nobody gets in a lot of words when JJ Dillon is talking. So all in all, as a package, this was very entertaining.
Yeah, I get really excited to see the promos, because, I mean, all these promos have been, like, home runs for the most part.
Pretty much.
You know, it's not like we're getting a Bob, besides Bob's promo that we've got. It's like on Titans, every now and then we'll get, a crappy Bob or this, but, you know, we get a Morocco here or there or a Sarge. Here, man, all these guys who are, some of them are not even known for good promos. Like Tony Atlas cutting a good promo, you know, it's really neat to watch.
And Bruce might be doing a good job of putting out which promos we're getting to see.
Right. That's true, too.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only. So it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
And next up is Jose Lothario, El Halcón, Mil Máscaras versus Gino Hernandez, Grand Marcus, and Grand Goliath from the same show, which is October 26, 1979. Little backstory, and what you can tell by the commentating, is Jose and Gino have been in a huge feud, and Gino had shaved Jose's head, and Gino shows up wearing a I shaved Jose's head shirt.
No, it said I shaved Lothario's head.
Okay, I shaved Lothario's head. Awesome.
It's the best.
This is the match which I call the Captain America Civil War match. Meaning, you have Marcus and Grand Goliath on one side. You have Al Halcón and Milmark Mascaris. They're representing like, kind of like the heroes in Captain America, where they each picked a side. But then there's this other storyline going on, which was the Black Panther versus Winter Soldier. Black Panther wanting revenge on Winter Soldier for supposedly killing his father, and it was like a force in nature that at parts of the movie would take over the movie because it would get out of control. And that's kind of like here with Jose and Gino, where at parts of the match they're just brawling all over the place and they take center stage and take over. Yeah, and that's all I thought about was, man, that reminds me of Captain America Civil War. And I just thought this was an awesome match. The Jose and Gino feud is really easily becoming one of my all-time favorite feuds. And I can't wait to see even more of it. I haven't seen many of their angles and promos, but what they've done, what they've conveyed through their interactions is hate. There's a headlock spot in this match that I've never ever seen before. The triple headlock thingy, which was incredible. We go old school route the bat with Gino's wearing the eye shade, Lothario's bald, and Jose just attacks him, and they're brawling all over the floor right off the bat. Then the match is on. The first fall is all action, and we incorporate some brawling with some Americanized lucha spots, and the heels did a tremendous job of shining up the faces. At one point, all three heels are just feeding Jose, and Jose's knocking him down with super sock punches, and it was just like, this is awesome. And Jose and Gino were the stars here, but I loved Halcón and Marcus interactions as well, and I liked Goliath too when he was like doing some really fun stooge spots, and Mill, you know, he was kind of there, but you know, he wasn't the star of the fall, so he kind of like blended back, which is good. And then the second fall was all about the heels just getting heat, and that's what they did. They just beat the crap out of the faces, took the fall, and just beat them down. It was just a good heat segment right on the second fall. And then the third fall was great. And normally you get like a little breather between the falls, but no, not here. Jose and Gino are just beating the living piss out of one another. And this rolls right into the final fall. Everyone's involved. Everyone is on point as we build to this incredible finish. Post-match, we get more hate-filled fighting from Gino and Jose. And hot damn, I'm just so loving this match. The narrative is so great here. And then we get this great match. And Jose and Gino were this force in nature that are too, at times were just too strong for the rest of the wrestlers to control here. I give it 4 stars. Loved this match. Loved everything that Jose and Gino did in it. Everyone else, I feel bad because they were such the focal point and when they were so incredible. But man, what a great way to keep their feud going on by to throw them into 6-man. And then they have this just incredible match. But the most important thing is, for future ticket buying, god dang, these guys hate each other and they want to kill each other. I can't wait till the next singles match we could go see. Just awesome stuff. What takes do you have on this? What do you think about this match?
I was not aware of the bit of backstory that you mentioned about like everyone on all the sides all being heroes.
Well, they were not necessarily heroes. I just using that because, I mean, you could do heel villain, but they're not. They both aren't both heroes. They're not.
Right. But I didn't get any of that backstory. You're aware of that, so that made it more interesting. And into that point, what I love the most about this was, yes, it was all about Gino and Lothario. There was no breaks. After every fall, they just fought. They just kept fighting until the next fall. But they did it like 3 times. like it encompassed the match. It was that, and it was awesome. And Gino is bleached blonde, which I've never seen before.
Except for the last time we saw him like that.
I don't.
You said the same thing.
Oof.
He was playing up the gay character.
Right, but I don't remember him having the blonde hair while doing it.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, marijuana is legal in Canada.
Yeah,
no,
and you're old.
Yeah, and nevertheless, what he said, the T-shirt, like you mentioned, I'm like, God, it's the best. It's my favorite old school.
Yeah.
You know, heel work when he probably went down to the boardwalk, or you know, where you had to go to get T-shirts made in the early 80s.
Yep.
I wanted to say, I shaved Lothario's head. You're not a fan, are you? Oh, shit. And and watching the older Lucha guys, which is the, was it Grand Marcus? He's the tubby, unmasked guy, bald with a...
No, that's Goliath.
Oh, that's Goliath. I'm sorry, that's Goliath. Goliath reminded me of a very agile version of the late John Polito. He was that little short fat guy in all the Coen brothers movies with the little mustache. And look him up, people. It's hilarious when you look it up. He's a great actor. You'll know exactly who he is. He was in the Big Lebowski, hipsters. You'll know. Yeah, and this was just a super fucking blast. Even like some of the Lucha with the old dudes, it was kind of like, it was like fun to see old man Lucha.
Yeah.
You know, if you know what I mean? Like when we watch some of these older guys like in WWF or wherever, and they've got their style, but they're older and a little tubbier, but they're still good at what they do. Watching these guys do that, it's always a lot of fun. Mil Máscaras did not take up any time.
Yeah.
And completely upstaged by what was going on between Gino
and
Lothario. And, you know, he was not stepping on that.
Nope.
Maybe that's what they were doing. They're like, we're not going to let that son of a bitch get 1 second to try to steal this crowd from us.
He ain't shining out. We ain't giving him a shine.
Not at all. We're going to fight throughout this entire match. And that's what brought it all together for me, just that hatred.
Yeah.
In that feud, outstanding.
Yeah, great stuff. Agreed. Oh, man. But let's go to the next match, our semi-main, if you will.
Oh, I do. I'm sorry. I do have to add, between the age of the gentleman wrestling, Bronco Lubitsch and the other guy, the stench of pomade and Old Spice in that ring must have been overpowering.
And Ben Gay.
And Bengay, overpowering. And the two referees apparently shop at Johnny's uncle's House of High Pants.
Oh, man. And the next match is the first time we've seen Lawler in Houston versus Mass Superstar. My commentary, Bosch says this is Mass Superstar's debut. He had worked into territory in 82, but this he's been out of the territory for about 3 years, maybe 2 years. Almost 2 years. This is on December 27th, 1985. Lawler is obviously he's not a regular in the territory. So they have a lot to overcome here. I will say this match only went like 11 minutes. It felt if these guys worked 20, 25 minute Lawler match, I feel like they could have a really great match. Here they had a fun match. And it was hard for them to get the crowd, but what we saw here was Lawler showing what a great worker he was. He knew that neither guy was really over with the crowd, so Lawler's instincts took over and was, I'm going to go after the mask, because the mask was over. Trying to take the mask off was over. So, which just shows again how Lawler's able to, you know, read the crowd and kind of give them what they wanted. He didn't give him the classic match that he's capable of here with the Masked Superstar, but he gave him a really good, fun match. And I thought this was a lot of fun. We get some early mat work with both guys trying to gain the advantage. And then they get a lot out of this Lawler trying to get a hammer lock. And I thought they did a real good job there. And then you see Lawler just going after the mask. This leads to Superstar fighting back. And then Lawler fires back with some really nice punches. Then some more, like, undoing of the mask. Lawler pulls the strap, but gets cut off by the loaded mask. The ref overturns the decision once he sees the foreign object. This was fun, but feels like they could have a great match if they were given 20 minutes or so. Still, I enjoyed this. I gave it like 2 and 3/4 stars. They just didn't have the time to have a great match, but because neither of them are like, they didn't work like a quick, energetic brawl, which Lawler's good at working in the 8 to 12 minute range. But Lawler's really one of the better ones when he gets like 20, 25 minutes and is able to tell an epic story, which I feel these guys are capable of doing with each other, but it just wasn't this match. What'd you make of this?
I really, really enjoyed this because of what it was. This is at that time where Lawler had lost a loser leave town to Dundee and was doing a touring Lawler. You know, he was doing a Hawaii as a heel.
San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio. He, you know, he was touring around.
Georgia.
And so going in, you know, they knew that crowd was not going to want what they could give them. So they gave them what the crowd wanted. Because first, it's just people like, yeah, Jerry Lawler, we kind of heard of him, and he's the good guy, right? And by the end of it, a good portion of the crowd was really behind Lawler for exactly those reasons, going after the mask, the way Superstar was selling all that.
Yeah.
So Superstar was tremendous in this match as well. And Lawler just, you know, Superstar's going to be around for a while, so he doesn't take a pinfall, but, you know, they have still a great finish for that traveling hero from the, as Paul Bosch calls it, you know, like in his territory, he's the fucking king.
Yep.
You know, just let you know. And but speaking of Bosch, he went off on the greatest side tangent I've ever heard, and I'm, you know me, I love me a side tangent. He's talking about a masked superstar. He's the superstar who wears a mask, not like Superstar Billy Graham. He didn't wear a mask. Yeah. Maybe he should have, some said, but he had those arms. He had those arms, so a mask. What good would a mask have been? You know. Yeah, he was a real tough customer. It's like, wow. where did you just go?
Yeah.
For a second. I want to go on that trip. And he also gets off the greatest line ever. Lola doesn't like to catch, he likes to pitch. Which, if I had been taking a sip of my drink, I would have done a Danny Thomas spit take.
I hear you.
That. I laughed so hard. I couldn't believe I just heard that. So funny. Again, fun match, and they delivered what they were supposed to do. And I always like it when I see that done well.
Yeah,
you know, and super enjoyed it. Yeah, and I'd love to see these guys in Memphis in '83.
Yeah,
you know, in the Coliseum. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, even if they're main eventing here, they gave them the time. I would bought into it because I know these guys have it in them. You know.
Oh yeah, but then as it fades out, you know, Paul Bosch is letting us know that we better tune in next week. Because he says, remember, we warned you, don't miss it. Like, oh, shit. You miss it next week. Paul Bosch shows up at your door with his giant ring and leaves a dent. We warned you. I missed this.
And brings Booker with him.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, this was what it was supposed to be. And I enjoyed it in both. Goddamn, Masked Superstar was a huge motherfucker.
Yeah, he is.
Back then. He was one of the muscle guys.
Yeah.
You know, so many people remember him in Demolition, you know, and everything, but goddamn, 83, 84, man, he was a muscle dude, and who could work?
Yep, and we're going to get to see him on Titans working Backlund. They have the Backlund feud coming up.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then we go into our main event for the day, and I believe it was the main event of that show on 12/27/85. It's Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Buzz Sawyer, dog collar match. And holy moly, this is just a legit fight. They're brawling in the ring. They're brawling outside the ring. Big chain shots. One of my favorite spots is when Duggan is about to make a comeback, and Sawyer cuts him off with a chain right into Duggan's cut. Really, it was just a brutal spot. Both guys are a bloody mess. And, you know, the crowd is actually taken aback by how violent this match is. And it takes them a bit for them to start rallying for Duggan because they're actually really concerned about his safety and well-being here. It's like a delayed, like, we got to cheer him, but, God, he's in so much pain and he's bleeding so badly. I don't know. They were actually feeling guilty for trying to cheer their guy on to make a comeback. And but did you see the delayed cheer for him? It was really odd. Yeah, I mean, that's the only one thing I can buy into. And then we see these great chain shots to the body, which are great. And you could believe because they were so stiff that Sawyer was like internally bleeding. And the finish was violent to a violent match. I gave it 4.25 star match. Really great, great stuff. And I mean, Duggan Sawyer, a legendary feud in Houston and in the Mid-South area. And this is another one in the hat, man. Another feather in their cap. Really violent, gritty stuff. What were your takeaways from this one?
First of all, yeah, I always said Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer might be one of the best wrestling names there's ever been. I think I remember when I first heard that or read it or something. I was like, I was instantly a fan. Yep. That, because it's based on his name alone, and then he lived up to it for me, especially in this stuff with Duggan. It's a dog collar match, which is always my favorite gimmick match. I don't know if it was because I grew up in WWF where we didn't have that. So, and then the first time I saw it was probably Piper Valentine.
Yeah, that was
I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, that became my favorite thing of all time. Because I still think it's like the most dehumanizing of the gimmicks. You know, like you got dog collars on, like goddamn rabbit animals with a chain. So I was like, yeah.
That's an awesome, just awesome description there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And the furry boots. I always marked out for the furry boots, too. I love that Paul Bosch says this is going to be a battle of wits. Really. Well, Duggan did go to college.
You're right. You know, when he did say that, I was like, huh? I was actually taken aback on the, like, made me, like, and a lot of times I'm able to just, like, ignore the comments on commentary. That one made me, like, do a double take. I did the Danny Thomas spit take and stuff,
And then he's trying to describe the match, because you're right, this is brutal as fuck, and from the get-go. And he says, like, as a warning, this is going to be a match with a lot of physical contact, but these are the people who appreciate physical contact, so they're getting what they've paid for. Great. And he calls Duggan, he's like a hefty Saint Bernard in the middle of this bloodbath. And just picture you're in a skiing accident. You know, you pop out of the snow and there's Duggan with a little barrel around his neck. Ooh, it was an avalanche, tough guy. when he Duggan's up.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man, and it's bloody and sweaty, and he's shaking, and you're like, Jesus. He was the JYD
in the 80s.
Guy, you know, for all the Bill Watts trying to recreate JYD, maybe trying to find a black hero, but he had his guy just as over.
Yeah.
Maybe not just as over, but pretty close.
Yeah, I told him. Duggan. When I talked to Duggan at a Comic-Con, about a year ago, I told him, I thought he was like one of the most over baby faces in the of all time in the Houston territory, and I really believe that, you know. I think he's definitely, I mean, I'd say him, the dog, you'd have to put up there, you'd have to say, Wahoo McDaniel. I think Jose mm-hmm. is up there. And maybe even Mil Máscaras I can see making an argument for. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys who are over. I mean, Duggan was definitely one of the top dogs when it comes to being over in the city.
Dog collar match. See what you did there.
Yeah, I know.
But and then first to the finish, I wrote down ha ha because I like the heels. And I especially like it when there's a heel who just got that dog shit kicked out of him.
That's all you just did.
Yeah, thank you. And sneaks out of victory, you know, and stumbles away a bloody mess. And I was like, I'm always the guy who cheered that guy. Good for you.
Exactly.
You figured out how to win. You know, and then I thought about Bosch for a second and his commentary and how sometimes it's like, oh, this isn't reflecting at how brutal this is, how, like, say, a Jim Ross would have called this,
yeah,
whatever. But then I thought about that. Why should he, being the beloved Houston institution that he was, that you've told me about plenty of times and you've told everyone about yeah. plenty of times, why would he pay somebody else to do this? That's money saved on a fucking announcer, because everyone in that territory watching that television probably thought, yeah, it's fucking Paul Bosch. We love Paul Bosch. You know?
Yep.
That's smart business.
No, exactly. Exactly. Man, yeah. These are some great matches. So
yeah, this was fantastic.
What was your favorite match on the show today?
My fabulous ones, Guerrero's.
Okay, my favorite one was the dog collar match because it was so damn violent. Who was your favorite performer?
Ooh. Let's see. I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
No, I decided to do it, but I'm not giving goofy-ass names like the Billy Graham Award and stuff like that.
Pop quiz?
Yeah.
Huh. Jesus.
I'm putting
off
the
top of my head.
Yeah.
No, wait, off the top of my head, Duggan.
Okay, I'm going with Jose. I just, that the way he just did the structure of the brawl and that six-man tag.
And now I want to say Gino. So it's hard to call that.
Oh, yeah, there's so many great stuff, man. So that's NWA On Demand. We'll be back next week with more matches that they upload, man. And Johnny, anything you got to plug, man?
Just that I have confirmed a date in December to record a new Brainbuster.
Oh, wow. That's breaking news, man. Scoop here in November.
Yes.
So we're going to have do you have guests lined up yet?
No, I just had to get Denton down.
Okay.
Who, by the way, if you're not following producer Matt Denton on Facebook or what have you, he's hitting every wrestling fucking thing in England right now and just putting up pictures of him hanging out with, like, all the name guys.
Cool.
You know, that, like, some were, you know, like Tommy End and all that kind of thing.
Cool.
Shit, so, yeah.
Or a name,
man.
A British wrestler that Johnny knows, Tommy End.
I don't know. I know that's one of them.
Yeah, I know.
I recognize the names. Come give me a break.
All right, man. Follow me on Twitter at TitansO Wrestling. And have a good one, man. And remember, NWA On Demand. Great matches. Sign up. You get a week free. I mean, that's all. It's that simple. Sign it up. Get it. Get a week free.
You'd be a fool and a communist not to.
Exactly. Donald Trump endorsed. Thank you, and have a good day.
We should all I had to do now was finish homework. It's true, you don't realize really what you got till it's gone, and I'm not gonna sing another sad song, but sometimes I do sit and reminisce and think about the years I was raised. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
And everybody
back in the
say,
days
I
when I was young, I'm not
when.
A kid
and
anymore.
Say,
but some days I sit and wish I was
when.
A kid again.
And everybody
back in the
say,
days when I was young, I'm not
when.
A kid anymore.
What?
But some days I sit and
back in the days.